From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on March 4th, 2015, when the Department of Justice released a report about Ferguson. Now, when you hear the word Ferguson, you probably think of Michael Brown. And yes, the DOJ investigated that case, but their report went beyond the Brown case. And what the department found was damning. For years, black residents of Ferguson, Missouri had been disproportionately targeted by the city's police officers for traffic stops. Ferguson's a third white, but 85% of drivers stopped by police are black. Black drivers got 90% of the tickets. 93% of people arrested there are black. Now consider what happens when a driver gets a ticket, can't afford to pay it, then might lose a license, lose a car, can't get to work, loses a job. That spiral can be very real. We saw it in Ferguson. One of the entries in the Unite Rochester Challenge indicates we should be very concerned about it happening in Rochester, where the entry says, quote, "It's a crime to be poor." So today we're sorting through some of the 89 entries in the Democrat and Chronicle's Unite Rochester Challenge. You can vote between now and Wednesday, I think. Mm-hmm. We're about to find out as I welcome our guests, and we have a packed studio because of the 89 entries. Half of them came from Sean Dunwoody, who's here. Sean is with Dunwoody Consulting. How are you, Sean?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Not half, just some.
Yeah.
We're meeting many of the people involved. Karen Morris is a Brighton Town judge and a professor at MCC. And Karen, nice to have you as well.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Ken Warner is the former executive director of Unicon, blogs for the Democrat and Chronicle. He's an author and been involved in politics locally for many years. And Ken is the author of that proposal on It's a Crime to Be Poor. We're going to be talking about that in a moment. Nice to have you here, Ken.
Great to be here.
And also here is Julie Phillip. Julie's a senior engagement editor from the Democrat and Chronicle. Julie, very familiar with these studios and these digs here. Tell us about what this challenge is all about, Julie.
The Unite Rochester Challenge, at the surface level, is to find one idea, award it $5,000 to help get it off the ground, along with professional support from DNC staff members. But the overarching goal of the Unite Rochester Challenge was to get people who care about the problems in our community, but really think, you know, it's such a huge problem, what could I do? Whatever I could do is a little drop in the bucket compared to what's needed. So we wanted to try to gather all those drops and show what the bucket could look like if it's full. And we were amazed by the number of entries that we received. We actually received a few more than 89. A couple we had to, somebody submitted anonymously, things like that. A couple we had to disqualify. But to have 89 solid entries that could be done for $5,000, or in many cases, I think you could do them for much less than $5,000. Together, that response alone was amazing. But then the response to that has also been amazing. We've had people call up and say, well, we want to connect with that person because that's something we're working on. So there seems to be this rolling effect, you know, a wave happening that the entire community can get behind some of these ideas and start to see that everybody can make a difference if they're all thinking in the same direction.
It's interesting to see the wide range of people who submitted. You know, you've got a town judge here. You've got just in this room alone, it's across the spectrum. People in politics, people not in politics, people who have been involved in community activities, people who are probably submitting an idea like this for the first time. There's not really a rhyme or reason, which was interesting.
There is not. It's cross-sector. There's a lot of arts in there, business, education, housing, all areas. It's very wide-ranging.
What was your favorite out of the 89?
I liked 1 through 89.
Oh, that's so lame. I knew you were going to say
that. It was number 38.
I knew you were going to say that. No, I asked because you can read now summations of those, and you can vote. And where can people do that, Julie?
They can go to democratandchronicle.com/uniteballot, or just go to the democratandchronicle.com and you'll find a link to the ballot. It lands on the ballot. You can read through synopsis by clicking on the titles of each of the projects, and then you can cast a vote, and you can vote every day up until Wednesday at midnight.
All right, Wednesday at midnight, and then what happens? What's the process?
At that point, we will tally up the top 10. And then on Thursday at noon at RIT's Expressions of King's Legacy event, it's a big event. They're bringing in Andrew Young as the keynote speaker. We are going to unveil who those top 10 finalists are. We will have about a month. The DNC will be working with the finalists to put together presentations for a panel of judges. And we will unveil the details once we've finalized the awards event, when the 10 finalists will actually present their ideas before the judges. And then everyone will be escorted out of the auditorium while the judges, sort of American Idol style, put their heads together and pick the winner and then come back in and we'll announce the winner then.
All right. So I'm not involved in the challenge, so I can talk about my favorite, or at least I can say what immediately jumped to mind to me. And I will back up and say, this is not pandering, because again, we're not involved here. I was impressed. I was impressed with the range of ideas. I was impressed with just how actually feasible many of them do appear to be. And in many ways, I'm looking at this going, boy, we could have an hour-long conversation on the talk show about so many of these 89 suggestions. There was a lot to be inspired about there. For me, I started this hour with what happened last March when that DOJ report came out, because I was so disturbed in many ways by the Ferguson report, not about even the Michael Brown case, but about when you look at years of potentially a systemic problem in which poor people, often black people, are targeted in traffic stops. And if it seems sort of banal to you, oh, it's a traffic stop, you look at that spiral. It was very real there. 538, New York Times, they've looked at whether that's happening in many other communities. It turns out in some places it is. And Ken Warner's suggestion is called "It's a Crime to Be Poor, Decriminalizing Poverty in Rochester." And that was the echo for me, Ken. That was the echo, was that warning that, you know, systemic racism, it's not always about, you know, the really obvious, big, glitzy headlines or the super obviously controversial things. Sometimes it's about traffic stops. Tell me about that.
Well, one of the things that, well, first let me say this, and I want to thank the Democrat and Chronicle for doing this. And because in a situation like what we're about to talk about, the decriminalization of poverty, it gives us the opportunity to have that discussion in the community that we wouldn't otherwise be able to have. And so many of the ideas are great. It really is exciting to be a part of this. In my former life, I was on the Finger Lakes Regional Economic Development Council's work group on workforce development.
take a breath.
And one of the things that we talked about, there were several of us. I was representing the construction industry. We had people from healthcare. We had people from optics. We had people from precision manufacturing. One of the things we talked about in terms of employment for people in the city of Rochester, minorities particularly, was the obstacles to employment. And everybody who was there said one of the biggest obstacles to employment was the fact that people can't get to their job because they don't have a driver's license. They may have lost the driver's license for one reason or another. And New York State has proven to be one of the top, I believe it's 15 states in the union, in the rate of surcharges that they add on to traffic tickets. A simple traffic ticket that might cost $50 can turn into thousands of dollars in fines and restitution that you have to pay. A lot of people can't do that. And in fact, right here in Monroe County, in the city of Rochester particularly, a person could end up in jail for not paying their fines. It's kind of a form of debtor prison. Now, the judges won't say that it's a debtor prison, but a person goes to jail. Well, they go to jail. They lose their job. They can't pay the rent. If they could pay the fine to begin with, they would have. It ends up with families being broken, and the cost to society is incredible. And so in any event, with everybody thinking about the idea of decriminalizing this and coming up with alternatives to sentencing, coming up with payment plans that can be done, we may be able to solve this problem. Buffalo, just to the west of us, has in fact done that.
Let me also say that in invoking something like Ferguson, that looked in some ways intentional. And unfortunately, when you started in the DOJ report, you peeled back and started reading some of the emails and the communications, it did look intentional. I'm not alleging anything nefarious is happening right here. I'm not saying Rochester police are intentionally targeting poor people or black people. What I'm saying is Ken's proposal reminded me of that, even if it's unintentional, that there are consequences from one little ticket, as you say, that grows.
Well, and while certainly I agree, I don't think that Rochester police are certainly doing this intentionally to minorities or anything else, but I'll tell you what is intentional, the addition of these surcharges in on top of traffic tickets. I mean, it's blatant that in the state of New York, they use that as a way to raise money.
Okay, so
It's a tax on the poor.
So your proposal identifies a problem here, but what's the solution, Ken?
Well, as I say, the city of Buffalo actually, through state legislation, started their own court that allows them to treat these cases differently and allow for alternative sentences and allow for payment plans. In addition to that, we partner with the Legal Aid Society of Rochester. And part of what they want to do is to provide education and to stop it before it happens. So in other words, person ends up in court and they have their first aggravated unlicensed operation. Well, what they don't realize is the second time you get that, that's a felony. And they may have lost their license because they didn't pay traffic tickets to begin with. So Legal Aid would like to help in terms of education for these folks and getting them to get into alternative payment plans and alternative programs before they actually end up with the ultimate problem of a felony and possible jail.
Okay. And so this is number 38, by the way, out of the 89 suggestions on the Unite Challenge. It's a crime to be poor, number 38, submitted by Ken. That $5,000 is kind of the seed to help start that process? You know, how you would essentially utilize that $5,000?
The idea is a couple of ways. One is to help fund the education program through Legal Aid. And the second thing is to try and put some materials together because we need to have a conversation about this in the community and to raise the level of awareness of it because everybody that I talk to about it says, oh, that's a good idea. Why don't we just solve that?
Yeah, this is one of those ones where I'm sure if you do talk to people in politics, maybe judges, people in other communities who are watching from afar, there's probably not a whole lot of people who think, I mean, maybe there are. Maybe there are some who say, we have to have a firm line. We have to have rules. We can't bend the rules. But I'm trying to think. I'm honestly trying to articulate what one of the defenses might be. I mean, is there? Have you talked to
people? Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that, Evan, because one of the things we want to emphasize is we're not talking about people who have six DWIs. We're talking about people who get caught up in a system, in a bureaucracy that is beyond their control. So there are some arguments that get made that say, listen, if a guy's got five DWIs and he can't pay his fines and he goes to jail, not my problem. It's his problem. And it's a different set of problems. But on the whole, most people do agree that this needs to be addressed and can be, pretty simply.
So in Buffalo, is there more
prerogatives? They just did it last year with their legislation in Buffalo. And one of the things that's interesting about it is they've actually turned their local court into a local moneymaker for the city, but that's an aside.
Are you saying that in a negative way or a positive
way? No, in a positive way. Because instead of the funds going to New York State, they actually funnel through the city of Buffalo.
But they're not doing it in a way that is sort of targeted and venal.
They're just
the new structure.
Right. The new structure
keeps more of the money in Buffalo.
Correct.
But it is not incentivized.
Correct.
Ticket writing, et cetera. So,
correct.
So in other words, it is a financial win to begin with, but not through intentional targeting or even more
exactly.
Ticket writing, et cetera.
Yes.
Okay. So that's proposal number 38 on the list. It's a crime to be poor. We'll see how it does. You can vote between now and midnight Wednesday. Karen Morris, Brighton Town Judge. And by the way, Ken, you've lit up the phones. So I'm going to try to get phone calls in as well, but I do want to try to fit in enough time to try to talk to the group about their various proposals. So Karen Morris is a Brighton Town Judge, and your proposal is what, Karen?
It's number 14. It's called Ticket to Ride. It recognizes that there are many folks in the criminal justice system who cannot afford to get to court for their court dates. They can't afford to get to parole or probation meetings, can't afford to get to treatment appointments or job training. So all because of a dollar or two or $3 that it takes for a bus ride. Well, that amount is negligible to many. It breaks the bank for many others, including many caught up in the criminal justice system. So our proposal is to raise money through grant givers and otherwise and distribute that money to various agencies in town whose clients include the criminal defendants who are indigent. And the goals are to reduce the number of bench warrants. A bench warrant is issued if a defendant does not show up to court. The police then go out looking for that defendant, bring him into court. That's police time. That could result in further arrest and jail time. So that's additional jail nights. If folks get to their court dates. We don't have those jail nights. We save tax money. We get these defendants out of the system and earning a living sooner rather than much later.
Okay. The reason I wanted Ken and Karen's proposals off the top is there does seem to be some dovetailing there. Would you agree with that, Ken?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for example, Judge Crimi, if you show up for your court date, he'll often give you extra time to pay your fine. If you don't show up, he has no alternative but to issue a bench warrant.
Okay, so let me ask you, what do you make of what you heard from Ken's proposal, just in terms of how the system works right now? Does that make sense to you, Judge?
Absolutely. Ken's proposal is another great one. There is no question, as a judge, it is mandatory. Let's say somebody is stopped for speeding. If that speeding charge is not reduced, there is a mandatory minimum fine of $90 and a mandatory...
No discretion.
And there is a mandatory surcharge of $93. Now, there's absolutely no discretion on the surcharge. On the fine, I can issue no fine, just the surcharge. But if there's going to be a fine, it's a minimum of $90. That's mandatory. It adds up. These people show up in court, and they have a long list of outstanding traffic tickets that are create a major obstacle to their ability to drive and then to get to training, to get to places that they need to go.
Julie, I want to bundle 38 and 14. How many votes a day do I get?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it after the show. but this is really, we have been seeing a lot of this, the synergy that's happening, people
exactly,
recognizing
right.
their projects and other folks' projects. People have reached out to me. I think some of the other entrants might tell you that they've actually talked to each other already. This was an added bonus, I think. I'm not sure I expected. We thought maybe we would see some synergies and we would work with the Community Foundation maybe to connect people, but there's a lot of connecting happening already, and the vote's not even in. So
yeah,
it's very exciting.
And this is not just sort of lip service to say, no matter who ends up winning this, I think you have sparked partnerships and conversations mm-hmm. that probably will carry forward. Because $5,000 will help, but that's not going to solve every problem, as we know. So that's part of the
we
point.
We wish it would.
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
Not.
So, Judge, what would that $5,000 directly go towards if 14 is chosen?
Great. We would use it to buy bus passes and distribute them to the agencies whose clients include criminal defendants. And those bus passes would be used to get defendants to court, to parole or probation, treatment, job training, and help reduce bench warrants and unnecessary police time and tracking down non-compliant defendants.
Your proposal reminds me of some of the discussions this community and this state have had about trying to be willing to spend a little money, and I say taxpayer money, our money, up front to help people to prevent the bad outcomes that could lead to bad outcomes in their lives, but also more costs for taxpayers.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to sit here and take a position, I mean, that's not the host's job, on, for example, paying for education of prisoners, for example. Governor Cuomo has advocated that. We talked to Rob Clark at Cornell and other people who've been involved with that, and they say it's $60,000 a year to incarcerate somebody. If you can spend $5,000 or $2,500 or $7,500 to get them educated, look what happens to the recidivism rate. But a lot of people are offended by that. I think you have to try to appeal to people who might be offended by that on conservative grounds to say, you may not be comfortable with this, but you're going to be spending less of your tax money if we can find a way to head off some of those problems.
And Evan, to that point, for Judge Morris's situation, it costs a heck of a lot more than that surcharge to send a cop out to arrest somebody, bring them in, and go through all those costs. I mean, it's ridiculous,
yeah.
Actually.
And that time of the police could be much better spent elsewhere.
Yeah. So Judge Morris's is number 14. It's called A Ticket to Ride. And you'll find it there. Julie Phillip, they'll find it where right now?
DemocratandChronicle.com/UniteBallot.
Okay. And how many times are you allowed to vote? It's supposed to be one a day or something?
It is supposed to be one a day. Rumor has it you can occasionally do it a little more often.
Oh, my gosh. You guys have got to get this under control. I mean, who's running it over there? No, I think that the point is to try to really take in the full scope of this, and there's a lot that may interest you. So we've talked about Proposal 3814. Sean Dunwoody of Dunwoody Consulting is responsible for a handful of those. I see four at least. Is that right? How many?
I think there's six in total.
Oh, six. Okay.
I thought there were seven, but...
I don't know. Maybe there was. I don't
know. There were quite a few.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me see here. I've got 29, 43, 49, 54, 81, and 88.
Yes, that is correct.
All right,
yes.
So let's just kind of work through them more quickly since you've got...
we don't have to touch on all of them.
Well, you obviously submitted a half dozen because... These are ideas that you think are viable. Let me start with Oh Happy Day.
Oh Happy Day.
Number 29. What is it?
Number 29. Okay, let's address that. Some of my proposals are coming at it in a different way. I'm looking at city morale. How do we boost that? How do we build that? How do we knock down these separating walls that keep us apart? There are two Rochesters. How do we come together? From following up from doing a crazy happy video because it was winter and I was depressed, I went out and realized that people were willing to dance out in the cold at 10 below in celebration of their city. And it got me wondering, what else could we build upon to make this happen? So on live air, I said, you know, if I hit a certain amount of views on my YouTube, I'm going to create a Rochester holiday. And I hit those views in the next 30 minutes after I said that. So I said, okay, I've got to do this. So it's based on the five petals of Rochester. So it's a Rochester Day. We can call it Happy Rochester Day, Rochester Day, whatever you want to call it.
It's an annual citywide celebration.
Yes, it is. That brings together all the different parts and pieces of Rochester. Let's face it. Some people don't know what's happening on the west side of Rochester. Some people don't know what's happening on the east side of Rochester. Some people don't know what's happening in their own cultural groups. So why not bring all these people together to celebrate their differences, but celebrating our similarities as well, that we are one city. We are unified. We have to build together. Everyone rallies around a sports team. We love it no matter your sex or your race. We root, yay, go, touchdown, slam dunk, whatever. Why can't we slam dunk and touchdown Rochester? Why not?
So once a year, Rochester Day,
yes,
and the seed money, the $5,000 would help
Actually get this off the ground. There are actually five tiers to how this day would work, or procession, as I call it. It's more of a parade or holiday. So it's based on the five petals of the Rochester logo. So we have sights and sounds. That's where we get to see our radio and television personalities, our writers, our photographers from our newspaper. I don't know what these people look like, and even you. It'd be great to have you out there.
for radio.
There it is. We can make a big, there it is. Face for radio. It's great to see you, so that when we see you in the local grocery stores, wherever else, say, that was great. It was wonderful listening to you. We also have blocks and businesses. Let's celebrate our students. Let's celebrate our businesses. We could create neighborhood floats. Let's support Swilberg or Joseph Avenue. Let's see what that neighborhood's about. Let's see what they want to say. Just imagine all our high school seniors. We parade them down Main Street and we give them an applause. We have 10,000 Rochesterians saying, you know what? You kicked butt and now you're going to graduate. And the question I ask is, would it have an effect on the younger audience viewing this? Would you want to attend school because you know you're going to be cheered on? It's almost like a prep rally for these students. So now kindergartners want to be part of this procession and walk next to you. Why not in your handsome face?
I want one of your bow ties.
Okay. we have taste and toast. Let's celebrate our different restaurants, our different flavors, our different bars, baristas in town. Let's see them and bring them together. And bringing all these pieces together and to create a solid holiday. In Memory and Muse, it was an area I realized most people don't know much about the history of Rochester or about a lot of the arts that are happening. So this is a point where we can bring together our history. Just imagine a big bobblehead of Susan B. Anthony, I just say that right now, or Frederick Douglass. We're always instilling this in our younger audience to understand where they come from so they will know where they're going and have greater pride in their city and themselves. So that's where we can celebrate our sports teams, our choirs. I know you want to say something there. My favorite category here is peculiars and personalities. Let's celebrate our fire eaters, our jugglers, our circus acts, our people we think that are a little off the collar. In particular, those who are willing enough to brand themselves with a City of Rochester logo. I think we need to applaud you and give you a dang on hand.
This is all part of what Rochester Day would be about?
Yes, and it's actually not just about let's just get wild and have a crazy time. There are also some Rochester hacks we can do where we actually have panels and discussions and let's actually actually tackle a problem each year. Let's tackle poverty. Let's tackle injustices in the criminal system and really try and figure out what you're doing right now with the DNC and the Unite. Let's do this yearly. Let's make this happen and pull all of our city together.
All right, that's number 29.
Number 29.
Oh, happy
hell
day.
Yeah, you cut me, got it.
And, well, you know, it's like the wine showing up and he just goes,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah,
he
yeah.
Just
if
goes.
Anyone knows me, yeah.
I well, I feel happy, though.
You really are the coolest guy in Rochester.
I know, honestly. So you didn't know Ken sitting next to him. There's two of your proposals that have fruit in the name. One is free fruit, and the other is the fruit belt. But let's hit number 49 first. Okay. Free fruit, what's going on there?
Free fruit, just a simple idea. We have poverty. People are hungry. Why aren't we labeling our areas with free fruit destinations, free fruits and vegetables, where they can be picked on public property? We're not going to climb over someone's fence and grab this. So if you're hungry, you can just go and grab a pear on Elm Street or wherever else you are and mark those. And they actually change depending upon the season where you can grab some fresh greens, maybe some dandelion leaves, whatever you're going to do to
create your meal. So community fruit trees.
Yes.
But this project also creates these maps, these community maps, to just lay it out for you. So
yes, yes. Lay out community maps, and let's try and push our city to put in more fruit trees and edible trees in the area. It's kind of simple. If you're hungry, you pick one off and you eat.
Okay. The Fruit Belt Project is number 88. Oh. The Fruit Belt Mural Project. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Okay, that's an extension of a project that did begin this last spring, partnered with Greentopia to pull that off the ground. And we're actually rebranding and recreating a neighborhood in this particular movement with Unite. I would like to pull together different school groups from suburbs and urban areas and work together. And as we're revitalizing and rebuilding a neighborhood, we're also going to revitalize and rebuild connections between urban and suburban and additional rural youth as well, how we can build and create our city together. So if we have them at the table one-on-one working to figure something out, we can then send them out to the community to come up with new solutions and new ideas.
Okay. You've got also got scavenger hunt. You've got seeing eye to eye. You've got fashion sense. You have all these ideas. Is there one to you, if you're voting for one of your own, what are you voting for?
If I was voting for one of my own.
Number 38.
I would vote for number 38, yeah. I was going to say, because I actually wrote number 38. That was the one I was thinking. Number 38 is what I was going for.
You're approaching shameless warning.
I know.
Is there one to you that you think is?
Number 29 is the one that I find unifying of all races and different classes and groups throughout the city.
What I like about the idea of a Rochester Day is it has all the fun components you talk about. It's got an educational component, but it also has that component that says, while we're celebrating what we are, let's take it part of our day to kind of workshop and take a look at what needs to improve. Mm-hmm. So you can incorporate so much into that. And so that $5,000 would just be a seed to get that
just a seed to get that going and get people engaged and enthused and ready to move it forward.
And Dunwoody Consulting is gonna lead the effort. If you win, if number 29 is the winner,
yes,
you got a big task on your plate.
Yeah, so I'm going to call on you to help me out.
Sean's smart. He knows. So this is just a handful. And Sean Dunwoody's half dozen suggestions, again, 29, 43, 49, 54, 81, 88. You know, we've been talking about the various projects and ideas that have been proposed as part of the Unite Rochester Challenge, thanks to the Democrat and Chronicle. Julie, I feel like we're going to lose the hour if I'm not careful. We should probably break and hear more of the ideas. But
that'd
people can read the full list of ideas. It's a good little weekend reading time, because you still have time to vote, mm-hmm. before Wednesday at midnight, and they can read all the capsules where?
DemocratandChronicle.com/UniteBallot.
Are you shocked that Sean Dunwoody put in half a dozen?
I was not shocked.
I was
glad he stopped at six. So that, but no, he was. It was great. That enthusiasm is very welcome.
I love this city. We all should love it.
I will say this, Sean. If we all simply had your energy and your passion for solving problems, I feel like it would get done, man. I really do.
I love you, man.
I think it's great. We're gonna have a group hug, and we're gonna come back and talk more about the Unite Rochester Challenge right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on the next Connections, we've got 2 hours of primary and caucus previews. We got Iowa and New Hampshire on the horizon. Super Tuesday, not that far away. First hour, we check in with supporters of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. What's the state of the Democratic race? Then second hour, we'll analyze the Republican field. It's all Monday on Connections.
This is WXXI AM Rochester, WRUR FM and HD Rochester, WEOS FM and HD Geneva, and WXXI FM HD2 Rochester.
An IKEA executive says the Western world has probably hit peak stuff, the point where we've lost our appetite for new cars, bookshelves, candle holders.
I didn't actually say peak candle holders, but I was talking about the broader trend, and, you know, we're a business and we sell home furniture, and we're not immune from that trend.
IKEA sustainability chief Steve Howard tells us how his company is preparing. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And that'll be this afternoon at 4 on your NPR News station.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. A couple of our listeners have been waiting to jump in, so before we read through and learn about more of the proposals, Verona first in Rochester. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just want to thank Julie and Sheila for this great idea. I think it's really just completely novel, and I think it has a lot of potential. But I also have some concerns about, the process. So as I've been reading through the 89, I've noticed that some of them really feel like they hit to the heart and the spirit of Unite Rochester. But then it feels like some of them are from not-for-profits who seem to need to fill a quota for how much money they bring in, you know, or maybe looking at this as an easy grant writing opportunity. So I feel like there's a lot of ideas mixed in there that, again, hit to the idea, but then some that seem to really miss the mark. And then my other concern is that I'm just wondering what 10 are going to rise to the front as really viable ideas. Is it going to be simply based on ideas that really garnered all of the votes via Facebook as sort of just like a popularity contest? That's my concern. I want to see this do well. I've been excited about this. I was waiting with bated breath for these to come out in the newspaper. But then again, I'm just a little fearful that the really strong ideas are not going to make it to the forefront. The ones that have the most votes based on, you know, again, their friends voting on Facebook, those are going to be the ones that come through.
Verona, thanks for the phone call. Julie Phillip, should you have been more limiting? Should you have said to the nonprofits, should we have put up a wall in some way? Verona said, too many nonprofits, a little concerned about that.
Well, first of all, we do hope that more than one of these ideas comes true, and we are working with the Community Foundation and some others to start looking at ways to do that. So just because there is one prize being handed out, we fully expect that others will happen in some way, shape, or form, and there will be some collaboration. We purposely left this wide open. We believe that nonprofits have a right to enter this as well. We believe that I understand the concern over a popularity contest, but it also shows some strength to the viability of the project if you can rally others around it. So we felt it was important to have that as one of the determining factors. If you have enough connections in the community, a lot of friends, you know, you have people that really are behind your idea, you're going to get support. So we did think it was important to have that as a determining factor. You'll notice we did not have the public pick the winner, because we do understand that should not be the only determining factor. But we wanted to make sure that there was some ability to rally people around your idea. Chances are it's a pretty good one if you can do that.
Okay.
And so we will have some very serious parameters for the judges to follow regarding the viability of the project. Can the organization do it without us? All those sorts of things will be taken into account by our judges, who I don't have the panel ready to announce yet, but they will be some of the Unite Rochester committee leaders or people who are very familiar with the needs of the community. And so in picking the winner, it won't be a popularity contest.
Okay. And Paul in Henrietta also waiting to weigh in. Go ahead, Paul.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the show. I'm the author of number 75.
Okay.
The Mysterious Wizard, I think, is the lead-in on it. I'm attempting to use a core story which community schools and individuals will contribute to the writing, and follow that with video, which will tell the story and also address a number of the issues that caused the creation of this contest to begin with. I hope that the video will reach out to a number of organizations that are already doing great work in the community and mix that into the storytelling. And the culmination of this will involve some community performances and also the final product being a video, which, of course, you know, we'll submit for Oscar consideration when we get done spending a few hundred dollars.
There you go. Paul, what number is it?
It's number 75, and I'm a guy who has not been high-level involved in Rochester's issues, but my volunteerism for the last couple of years as an educator at East High School and other places that are suffering sorely from numerous byproducts of inner-city difficulties has led me down this road, and I'm a former director, producer, and so forth of theater projects. So this isn't entirely out of my bailiwick. The $5,000 is a long shot for all of us, I guess, and especially for somebody like me who is not coming into this with a whole core of, supporters and voters and so forth and so on. The project will continue anyway. As a matter of fact, on March the 9th, which, you know, the results will barely be in, the East Middle School will be doing a little show that will highlight a piece of this project, which is an anthem called We All Rise.
Very good. Well, Paul, let me just jump in and ask you one more time. The number on yours and the name of it?
It's number 75, and I believe the heading is The Wizard of Walnut Street.
All right. Thank you so much for the phone call, Paul. I wish we could have all 89 represented. Just got a text from someone who I think knows someone who's sent in a note, and basically just encouraging everyone to not only read the summations, but click on the websites. There's a little more information as well. You know, 89 capsules is a lot to read to begin with, but you can learn more. Annette Ramos, I know you were jumping in saying, yes, read more.
Yes, read more.
So let's do this. Let's go around and let's learn more about what we have in front of us here with the Unite Rochester Challenge. And let me just give you a number here. Kids growing up with a savings account, 7 times more likely to go to college than kids without a savings account. Ruth Ann Rowe is a principal broker and certified appraiser for Rowe Realty and the director of a nonprofit and with an idea about how to help kids eventually make it to college. What's the idea?
Yes. Our idea is called Kindergarten to College, and it is successfully operating today in the City of San Francisco School District. We have a far-reaching idea that doesn't tinker around the edges because we have serious problems we all know in the city. Our idea is one bank account with a community-minded bank held by the City of Rochester. It is a trust account, and every kindergartner enters kindergarten with a sub-account of that city bank account. So in other words, children now come into the city, come into school with an account, knowing that savings is important, and the city schools can now feel free to teach financial literacy based on that savings account to the children into as they progress through school.
Is $5,000 enough to get this started? You need more?
There'll be a little bit more cooperation that's needed here.
Yeah.
But we already have community leaders that are intrigued by this idea. There has already been some pilot programs started by Monroe Community College in this regard. We are not alone in this, and this could happen. Children have a different future. They see a different future when there's a bank account there, when there's money. It's not a matter of can you succeed. It's what do you want to be in life? What wealthy people start trust accounts for their children, and the money can be used not only for college, but for vocational education.
When could the money be accessed?
So, in other words, the money, because the account is held by the City of Rochester, the money can go in, but it cannot come out until the child or grown adult, young adult, enters higher education. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge bank of money that's growing. Meanwhile, all our children are gaining financial literacy. And they understand when they come out that there's a different path for them. They do not need to flounder. They can succeed. They're taught that from kindergarten.
This proposal is number 8 on the list. It's known as Banking on College, or Rochester's Kindergarten to College. And again, Ruth Ann mentioned San Francisco with a program there helping helped adults by helping them establish a relationship with the bank. That's called A Foot in the Door, afootinthedoor.info.
Yes, it's very important. We do have a video out there. It's very easy to access. It's www.afootinthedoor.info, I-N-F-O.
Okay, so that's number 8. Banking on College. Beth Laidlaw, who's here as well, is an associate professor of philosophy at MCC. And number 5 is Empowering Moms. Tell us about this.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
Sure.
This project grew out of the Parent Leadership Training Institute, which I'm a part of at this moment. So, Evan, you came and talked with the parent leader group not too long ago. So thank you so much.
Sure.
For remembering us. My project, Empowering Moms, is number 5. That number 5 is really important because every year our tax dollars, county tax dollars, we spend nearly $5 million every year. For the last 5 years, we've spent nearly $5 million on homelessness. And we're doing a really good job at maintaining homelessness in this community. Every year for the last 5 years, 2,600 families have accessed homeless services. There are more families than that that are homeless. It's just the 2,600 that have accessed services. So my project is to build a network of existing shelters serving families using the model at Work with RAIN, the Rochester Area Interfaith Housing Network, 42 churches coming together, 900 volunteers. So this collaboration will foster mentoring relationships among formerly homeless moms and staff members. The moms will assess their own gifts. They will identify developmental goals to self-sufficiency. And the project, which is also called 10K Grants for Mom, will grant up to $10,000 to these single moms, formerly homeless, for overcoming financial obstacles to self-sufficiency, like transportation or childcare or training at MCC or somewhere else. So the grants are a component of a covenantal relationship, which means there are promises made on both ends. There are behaviors that need to be maintained in order for these grants to continue. The moms need to have continued progress toward their developmental goals. That's the project. 5. Number 5.
Number 5. Empowering Moms. By the way, that $5,000 seed.
Yeah.
Again, how do you leverage that? You're going to need more.
Initially, I thought we would develop a multilingual website and along the Kiva model, bundle donations. But when I tell my students at MCC, there's always more to know, and you have to talk to people who are smarter than you about what you're investigating. So when I'm talking to the folks who serve the homeless, when I realize we're already spending $5 million, we need to spend that money differently. So the $5,000 will go for preparing materials to advocate to the Department of Human Services Administration, the county legislator. So it would be seed money for a very large advocacy campaign to redirect how this $5 million we are spending each year on homelessness can be more effectively used.
Number 5. Empowering Moms, if you want to vote there and you want to learn more about what's going on there. Thank you, Beth.
My pleasure.
Annette Ramos is here with 2 different proposals, which is nothing on Sean and Brad, but that's okay. Annette is the executive director of the Rochester Latino Theater Company and associate director of education and community engagement for RBTL. And number 15 and number 45. Number 15 is to be or not to be.
That is correct.
No. That is the question.
That is the question. It's an exciting project. I actually am very fortunate because the Reinvesting in Youth portion of Hillside already is doing a similar program with Hillside students. They're students that have had an encounter or an experience with law enforcement. So we looked at a national program called Shakespeare Behind Prison, and restructured it for our youth and engagement piece here with law enforcement. In fact, I have Deputy Chief Wayne Harris in our Shakespeare class, along with a few officers, and our students have been learning Henry V, and they've been looking at the folio edition of Shakespeare and learning the story and the concepts and the themes, you know, overcoming challenges, rising up against the stereotypes. And so what I looked at was what I'm already doing successfully and how can I engage it in this Unite Rochester campaign. And one of the things I want to do is really create a bridge between our city youth and our suburban youth, because there is a huge disparity within the educational system on the quality and caliber of education and opportunities for our city youth to engage in rich, vibrant, artistic, engaging opportunities. So that is something I'm really personally and professionally committed to. The Rochester Broadway Theater League allows me to bring our students to the theater to engage in quality theater experiences. I had my city school kids, over 450, attend shows at the theater. And what we do is we really try to show them that there are many opportunities for artistic expression that can cover and dialogue and open a conversation about poverty, racism, discrimination, bullying, and segregation.
I love it. And they can even write modern revisions, as you say.
That is correct.
Which is a really neat idea.
Yes.
So they can tie their own experience or learn, try to parallel what Shakespeare is writing about, which is surprisingly timeless. So that's 15, To Be or Not to Be. And I want to make sure we get through number 45, Tell Me More. It's a storytelling project.
Yes.
The brief description there.
I love it. School 17 is a focus school that I am focused on. Along with Ibero-American Action League, we looked at what our students really wanted to do. They wanted to tell their own stories. They love telling stories. This is a middle school program. I've already actually gotten two schools that have reached out to me in the suburban community that said, we want to partner with you, bringing our kids, engaging in that. The $5,000 would allow us to create transportation opportunities, a quality theater experience for them, engage in designing T-shirts, allow them to market and talk about their stories and really tell their stories from their own perspectives using their own voices.
And I believe those suburban schools contacted you because of the Unite Rochester.
I love it.
And this is what I mean, that the connections are happening already.
And that's what I was sharing earlier, is that it's exciting because when I came to the first meeting, I met about 30 other participants, and that allowed a whole well of opportunity and creativity. As Sean and I are the artists in the group, we look at that ripple out effect of how art can change a community and bring value to those engaged in that artistic expression.
Love it. So number 15, To Be or Not to Be, and 45, Tell Me More, the storytelling project. Those are Annette's contributions. You can vote for them right now if you'd like to. And the man with the rest of all of these submissions is Brad Van Auken. Brad's a brand strategy consultant. He's a professor of marketing at the RIT Saunders College of Business, president and founder of Brand Forward, Inc. And I will say that reading Brad's, very honestly, these are some of the most ambitious when you just read them in macro. When we talk about systemic racism, we talk about urban entrepreneurship, mixed income housing. What's the last one here? Oh, ending the drug war. You know, small things, Brad. but honestly, I mean, we can't get in through all five of them, but can you pick just several and tell us how winning your idea, you know, would sort of take shape here?
Sure. Thank you. First of all, I know you've already mentioned ending the war on drugs. We've already had...
That's number 68, by the way. Ending the drug war, number 68. Go ahead, Brad.
And this relates to the community reading on systemic racism, the book The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Era of Colorblindness. I've read that book. I've talked with people about that book. And it's very interesting. Everybody pretty much will say our war on drugs is a failure. And, you know, we have more people in prisons than anywhere else, and it costs a lot of money. The good news is I've heard from people in Washington that this is an issue where both sides, conservatives and liberals, Democrats and Republicans, can agree we need to have reform. So I'm just encouraging people on this one to write their congresspeople, write their senators. This will have a huge impact. We already discussed this a little bit.
How would the 5,000 be used here?
In this case, I think it's just getting the word out about this to let people know, because, you know, Congress is really teetering on doing something major about this. And if there's a groundswell of support from citizens, I think it could tip the you know, tip the teeter-totter on this.
All right, 68 is ending the drug war. Number 51 is Mix It Up. It's about mixed-income housing. What's the idea here?
We've got concentrated poverty. There have also been books written about these super zip codes now. Everybody on the internet and really in where they live are clustering with people like themselves. The effect of this is you have these super concentrated zip codes of super concentrated poverty where there's no role models, there's no safety, there's, you know, it's just terrible. And, you know, I've had this experience, I have to say, in both Rochester and Kansas City, where I lived before this. I worked with a realtor. I'm not trying to put down realtors. But when I moved here, they said, you got to live in Pittsford. I said, well, gee, I'd like to live on the lake. I like water. I grew up in the city near the lake. No, we don't want to show you that. When I was in Kansas City, I wanted to live on the Kansas City, Missouri side. They said, oh, no, that's a diverse neighborhood. It's kind of sketchy. I said, no, that's where I want to live. They said, no, Johnson County. So you've got
KCK.
Well, actually, Johnson County is the affluent suburb of Kansas City on the Kansas side.
Yeah.
So clearly you've got some people that are pressuring people to move one place or another, but it's also urban design. We're doing all sorts of development downtown now, and why not do mixed development? Why not do mixed neighborhoods? Mixed schools, socioeconomic status, are more successful, and certainly people that come from an impoverished background are more successful in those mixed socioeconomic schools.
But we're almost out of time here. $5,000, that's a very small seed for a very ambitious idea, Brad.
Here we're really trying to influence residential developers, real estate agents, municipal zoning boards. So it's really a grassroots get on the ground effort and start talking with the people in the communities and help them understand why this is important.
Yeah, if you want to spend more time, and we don't have time today to get through all of Brad's ideas, but boarding school, very interesting. That's number 42. Urban entrepreneurship, number 48. Community reading on systemic racism, number 22. All examples there. So those are Brad's ideas, and I wish we could go through all 89.
I do, too.
Julia Phillips.
But thank you for trying this many.
I will also say, to be very honest with you, we've got three phone lines lit up we couldn't even get to, probably with various people who are not in studio sharing their ideas. So let me only say that, number one, life's not always fair. We didn't get through everything on the 89. But number two, you can read on your own.
Please read them
where they
all.
Are. And Julie, where can they go?
DemocratandChronicle.com/UniteBallot, or just go to DemocratandChronicle.com and you'll find a link to it.
You know, from the very interesting, energetic ideas of Sean Dunwoody, Brad's ambitious ideas from drug war, mixed income housing, Beth, Ruth Ann, Annette, Ken, Judge. I mean, there's so much out there that we went through today. I hope you'll check it out. Have a great weekend. John Andrus, our engineer, Megan Mack, producer. Thanks for the great work this week. We'll talk with you Monday.
Thanks, everybody.